Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
We never question ourselves. We always kept our confidence up. We knew we was going to win, and we can cut off that light in the practice center.
Pour it on! Pour it on! Pour it on!
What's going on right there, Scal? What's going on right there, Scal?
I was a little wasted right there, wide open.
Today's opening tip, Perk. How much fun did you have calling that Celtics game last night? Because they apparently brought back some old memories for you.
I had a good time. I was a little nervous, Rachel, because that was my first time doing a play-by-play. Mm-hmm. But I think I did pretty well overall. I had fun. And it's always fun when you're dealing with the white mamba, Scal. You know? he brings that energy, you know?
I just want to know, you said you were maybe a little wasted in that clip, was your word. How do you get drunk that close to when you just stepped off the basketball court?
The great could tell you.
I want to hear it.
The great could tell you once you, hey.
Once you step into that locker room.
Yeah, once they present the trophy, you back there, hey, champagne to yourself. I couldn't wait.
There you go. To be fair, some of those interviews are up to an hour after you guys actually get off the court. But I'm still impressed, Perk. I'm still impressed. All right. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, indeed, with 2008 NBA champion. You just saw the trophy, Kendrick Perkins, and we don't have time to show all his trophies. Six-time champion Scottie Pippen. I'm so excited because coming up, we are going to reveal right here on The Jump the 2020 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame nominees. We have such an amazing list of first-timers who are eligible. So I don't know, guys, you think Kobe's on the list? I think it's possible he makes the cut. Stay tuned. First, though, so it was smart of the Thunder to tear it all down this past summer, despite two superstars and a luxury tax bill to prove it. OKC hadn't won a playoff series since Kevin Durant left. So it was smart to parlay a series of trades that will basically let the Thunder own the draft for an upcoming seven-year stretch. There's just one problem. Even when rebuilds are smart, they're not usually a lot of fun. Not for the fans, and certainly not for the players, actual human beings who can feel like years of their lives are being wasted in a locker room that feels more like a collection of assets than a team. Vegas oddsmakers predicted that this year's Thunder were in for a year of misery. And indeed, so far this season, some nights have been miserable. But a funny thing has been happening in Oklahoma City this week. First, there was Monday night's game, when the Thunder pulled off a 26-point comeback against Chicago. A thriller highlighted by some vintage Chris Paul play. Yeah, he can still do stuff like this, friends. And then last night, well, before I get to what happened on the court last night, we must discuss how OKC's players arrived for the game. It seems that a while back, CP arranged for the entire team to get some custom suits. Remember when LeBron did that a couple years ago? Well, this time, the guys got to pick their styles, which led to some pretty great arrival shots. None more fantastic than, yes, wait for it, Steven Adams. Take in all 7 feet of splendor there, people, from the hat to the shoes. According to our Royce Young, Adams was very proud of the fact that he picked that hat out himself. Although I have to let you in that it's not from Armani or Tom Ford or anything. No, Adams found the hat for sale on a rack at his barber shop. Oh, also, please note that Adams is wearing shoes, which might not sound like a big deal, but it is, as recently detailed in The Athletic. Adams usually wears either flip-flops or no shoes at all as he walks around the streets of Oklahoma City in the dead of winter. He also almost always wears shorts or sweatpants. Last night was, in fact, only the third time he has put on a real pair of pants since the year 2013. And he said, quote, "I didn't realize how much time it takes to put on all that stuff. It's a lot longer than I take normally. I didn't account for it. I was just like, bleep this, mate." A lot of buttons, a lot of weird little things, you know, like zippers and lapels and stuff. Fortunately, Adams was still able to make it on time for the game, although as a group, the Thunder all seemed pretty listless, falling behind by 24 points this time before making yet another lively second-half rally to steal the win. Elias says it's the first time in 20 years a team has done something like that twice in 1 week. Which is interesting because it also happens to be this week in the NBA that a bunch of restrictions on trading players were lifted. The Thunder were expected to be one of the league's chief sellers this trade season. Except now OKC is sitting in the seventh spot in the West. So what should the team do? Personally, I'd like to see them go for the playoffs. Not in some big way. I am not suggesting they go out and try to acquire anyone. But I'd love to see OKC take a breath and keep this team together, at least for another month or so, to see if they can really hang in the playoff bracket. They already have a ton of assets in their war chest. Just take a look at this list. It is ridiculous. So yeah, well, they probably could get a nice additional pick for, say, Danilo Gallinari's expiring contract. Do they need to? It's going to be a long trek through these next few years for the Thunder. If there's a small window here to have a little fun, it seems, well, smart to stop for a moment and enjoy it. Scotty, what do you think? Do you think that OKC should be sellers as we approach the trade season and just keep going with this rebuild full steam, or that maybe let it ride a little bit?
Well, I like the fact that they're still competing and being competitive, but I think at this stage, when you look at the Western Conference, you look at some of the top teams out there, I say they should be sellers. They have some valuable pieces there that other teams could use and want, and it could help them to rebuild. CP3, prime example.
Sure.
A player that, you know, still searching for a championship, would love to have an opportunity to go and play for a team that can compete for a championship. It's not going to be the OKC team, but also I think Steven Adams is also a huge piece that I think they can move and get some value back for him.
And look how nicely he's dressing now. So if you do decide to make a trade for Steven Adams, maybe he'll wear shoes. You don't know. What do you think, Perk? This is your old team.
Man, I hate to go against a great. But look, I'm buying.
Okay.
I'm buying for the simple fact I had this team making the playoffs before the season started. Mm. I thought people underestimated them. They got a very talented ball club. They got guys that's capable of going for 25 a night. You have CP, Alexander, you have Gallinari, and look at Schroeder. He came in and gave you 30 off the bench. One thing about this team is that they hang their hats on the defensive end. When you play against the Thunder, you know you're going to have to grind it out. Right now, they're currently sitting in the seventh spot. A few games they could have won, but they lost. And with me showing the CP getting the suits for everybody, First of all, this shows that he's committed to the organization and that the organization is basically committed to him. So, in my opinion, I let them rock out because they won in so many ways in the trades. They got millions of picks out of these people don't understand.
A million picks. It could actually be a million. That list was written in small letters.
So my thing is, hey, let them rock out, you know, see what happens. And like I said, I'm just proud because I had them picked to make the playoffs.
Well, they can rock out till they run into one of these L.A. teams.
Well, I have to say, what I have heard is that GM Sam Presti feels more on Scotty's side than he does on our side, Perk. But we can hope still. We can see what happens.
Well, if they just
let them be for like a month. We'll see what happens. But I do hear the doors are open for business there, Scotty. We will see how we go. Look, we promised you at the top of the show the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame nominees for the class of 2020. The Hall's North American Committee nominated 50 candidates. Ooh. The finalists are going to be announced during All-Star Weekend in February, with the inductees unveiled during the Final Four in April. So time to run it back. These are the notable first-time nominees this year. You're seeing it first on The Jump. First, The Matrix, Shawn Marion, four-time All-Star as a member of the 7 Seconds or Less Suns, and an NBA champ in 2011 with Dirk and the Mavericks. All right, next up, eligible, Chris Bosh. He made 11 consecutive appearances in the All-Star game, won 2 titles as a member of the Heatles, right? And then we're getting to the guys you knew would be on this list. Kevin Garnett, 15-time All-Star, League MVP in 2004, Defensive Player of the Year, NBA Champion in 2008. You may remember that, Perk. And hey, he's now a movie star too, so I don't know if that goes on the plaque. And here's another superstar, Tim Duncan, 15-time All-Star, a member of all 5 Spurs title teams. He won 3 Finals MVPs, 2 regular season MVPs as well. And last but definitely not least, Kobe Bean Bryant, 18-time All-Star, 5-time NBA Champion in 20 seasons, all with the Lakers. Kobe also a 2-time scoring champ, 2-time Finals MVP, regular season MVP in 2008. So look, this is a bonkers class. It is amazing to see all these guys nominated. Scotty, you were inducted into the Hall in 2010. What is it like, even when you expect it, when you're Scottie Pippen, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, even though you know what's coming, What is it like when you get the phone call to find out you are nominated?
Well, I was just getting goosebumps when you were calling those guys' name out, but it may have been because of their accolades.
Yeah.
But it's special. You know, as a player, it's something that you really don't dream about. You know, what the Hall was able to do by bringing players in and started to make this something that's happening every year is special. And it's a special group of guys to be a part of. And you realize the different generations of players that have played this game. And to have that special night to come together and be around some of the great, it's one of the greatest accolades I've ever achieved. And it's definitely something that, you know, those players are well deserving of. They had great careers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I went watching Tracy McGrady go through it just a couple years ago. It's certainly a big deal when you're nominated and you think it's so huge, and he was so excited going into it. And then we did a live show from the Hall the year that he was inducted. And even just watching him in the morning, in the afternoon, that night, sort of when he had time to go up on stage, it seems like it hit him in waves.
Rachel, it's one of the toughest things you have to do as a basketball player to go up and try to say, bring your whole career
right
to that one moment, you know, and they got the clock running.
Right.
Too. But it's special, and it does take that whole day, that whole week to bring everything together and to be able to really give it mm-hmm. back. You know, out
feel
the way
it.
That you really accepted it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, Perk, your former teammate, KG, was, in fact, on the show with us yesterday. And I asked him, because I had just a feeling he might get nominated this year now that he's eligible, about the significance of the Hall of Fame. Take a listen.
Everybody you probably envision to be great is a Hall of Famer. This is the culmination of all the hard work, all the countless times in the gym, all the work you put into this. This is what you actually do it for. So to be, I don't even know, to be accepted or to be brought into the family of Hall of Famers would be probably the culmination for me.
Perk, knowing what you know about KG, we could read the list off a piece of paper, but what you know about him, why does he deserve this so much?
Well, I mean, listen, just KG and all, he changed the game, in my opinion. You know, look at him in Minnesota. He was just, you know, a flat-out killer. And when you look at a guy like KG, it's only one award that he didn't win, and that's the finals MVP. You go down his accolades, he didn't win every award that could be named. Defensive player of the year, MVP, all-star MVP, 15-time all-star, 12-time defensive teams. You know, it's just like the accolades speaks for itself, but when you watch him in person and watch, you know, the grind, the work that he put in, the passion that he plays with, it's well deserving, and this one Hall of Fame that I will be at. I have
right?
no choice yet.
Right. I mean, this is going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing class this year, and it's not just the names I mentioned so far, because there's a lot more nominees to go. I want to get to the notable first-time women's nominations. Mm. First up, Swing Cash. Come on, 4-time WNBA Ooh. All-Star, 3-time WA champion. She also won 2 gold medals with Team USA, and we cannot also forget Tamika Catchings, 10-time WNBA All-Star, regular season MVP in 2011. She also earned finals MVP honors while leading the Indiana Fever to a title in 2012. And I want to throw up the rest of the women's nominations to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. You'll notice that Becky Hammon returns to the ballot from her playing days in the W. She made 6 All-Star games with the New York Liberty and San Antonio Silver Stars in her career. Woo! These are impressive. Congratulations to everybody on these lists. We are going to keep showing you the names throughout the show. We got a lot more to announce, so stay with us. Coming up, we'll also talk about the teams with the 2 best records in the league. Oh, you might have heard their meeting tonight. But does this game mean more to the Lakers or the Bucks?
Uh-oh.
We'll discuss that. First, though, it's time for our distant replay. It's this date featuring a very young Ray Allen, 1996.
Oh! Chill out, Jesus. Jesus Shuttlesworth right there. Everybody.
Yeah, the hair and the hops.
But everybody forgot about Ray, how athletic he was. Everybody was talking about his shoes, but Ray used to punish people at the rim. We'll be right back.
The Jump is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
Oh, I have no idea.
Make.
Miss. It's a make or miss league.
Make ingenuity. Magic. Nuggets. Clock winded down. Nikola Jokic goes for the one-legged three and buries it.
Oh.
He did this against the Blazers last week, too.
He just got it in his bag.
I guess
once he gets in shape, it's going to be over with.
I'm not sure how many. Harden said that was what he was working on all summer. I don't know how many we've seen from him so far this season, ooh, but you know they haven't all gone in. But look, Jokic.
Would you do that?
In today's game, that's a good shot.
Yes, but what would have Phil Jackson yelled from the sideline if you had tried that back in your day?
Oh, big man.
I would have been taken out.
I'm jealous. I had it in my pay.
Miss accuracy, Raptors, Pistons. Aaron Pass goes into the seats. A fan tries to throw it back. Hits an assistant coach in the back of the head. Maybe this is revenge, right? Because a lot of fans have gotten hit by passes.
Oh. Whoa.
Over these years, see, look, the fans have taken a beating the last few years.
Oh, man, I'm going to pray for us.
And, you know, maybe a fan decided we've had enough. We're striking back.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. You know, you got to be careful. Keep your head on a swivel.
A little harder than that.
Keep your head on a swivel. You want revenge, and there you go. Boom. Make vocations. Jusuf Nurkić and Zach Collins both out for Portland, but they were at the game last night looking very dapper, and Yahoo Sports asking what their jobs would be dressed like this. Kyle Kuzma answered, Zach sells car insurance, and Nurk sells jewelry to athletes and rappers. Perk, what do you think?
I think it looked more like Wolf of Wall Street to me. So I'm going
for
with
both
that.
Of them?
Yeah, both of them. They look like they bought that action. I mean, or whatever. Insurance agency or something. They selling the insurance. I don't know.
It's quite a look for Nurk, Scotty. Yeah,
he's been swagged up, though.
Man. He does, too. He has been looking good on the bench.
Check that camera on him.
I'm just saying, name a better duo. Miss Jams. Punch of missed dunks last night. Tony's Bertans, Terry Rozier, Jackson Hayes. Scotty is dunking harder than it looks.
Man, what are these guys doing?
But see, that's why I always said, that's why I told you, Rachel, on the last jump, you got to finish with two hands.
You do.
The two
Scotty
hands.
Finished his dunk, so that's all I'm saying.
Was that me?
And there we go.
There we go. Finish with two hands. Go ahead and.
Boom. Not so much.
Two-hand dunks normally get blocked.
Not so much. What are you going to do? Make Latvian lasers. Bertans continuing his assaults on the Nets from afar, though. He drilled six first-half threes last night.
Ooh. He's been lighting it up.
Yep.
Can we put him in the conversation for most improved? Because over this streak, over the last 2 weeks, he's been lighting it up for the Wizards.
I hate that phrase, in the conversation. Everyone's in the conversation. It's a conversation. Would you vote for him?
I would vote for him, man. Right. I would vote for him.
What do you think, Scotty?
Yes, I mean, he's definitely shooting the heck out of the ball.
He's playing so well. Yeah. Part of the Wizards.
Fun to watch.
Fun time. That's what I'm just going to keep saying every time they're on. They're fun. No defense, but fun. We have lots of our talk about tonight because we have one of the most anticipated games of the year. Lakers at Bucks. Here is Giannis Antetokounmpo on playing against LeBron James.
For me, that's one of my goals to like be able to, you know, play in a high level for the next 10 years. But he's about to turn 35 this month. And he's moving like that, playing like that, just, you know, playing smart, and it's insane. He's insane what he's able to do, but he's LeBron James, you know, he's different, he's alien, so you expect it from him.
He's an alien. I don't know if Giannis is trying to give us a sneak peek at the LeBron Space Jam sort of thing going this summer, but here's what we do know. We'll see the top team in the West versus the top team in the East tonight, both the Bucks and the Lakers coming off losses. Might have been looking ahead to this game in both cases. So, Kendrick, do you think this game means more to the Lakers or to the Bucks?
Well, first of all, Giannis, don't try to getting on Bron's good side because you turned him down about being in this movie Space Jam 2. Nah, he's in town. But it means more to the Bucks. Listen, Bron has owned Giannis in the head-to-head matchup for his wins and losses. He's 14-4. So I think this game means more to the Bucks than it do to the Lakers, in my opinion.
I also think it means more to the Bucks. I think that this is still a young team that hasn't been quite battle tested yet. They lost last year in the finals to a Toronto team that went on and won the championship.
Finals, yep.
And now you're facing a Laker team that's on pace to win a championship. So they have to prove that they can beat some of the best in the marquee teams in the league. And they are on that pace, and they've shown it in the past, but you have to do it consistently if you want to be a champion.
Yeah, and there's all the talk of the East not being as strong as the West at the
right.
top of the bracket, that sort of thing. So I think it would mean a lot to them, especially at home, right?
Yes.
Right. Give that home crowd something. Look, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Lakers because Magic Johnson coming up says he deserves some credit for their success this season. We'll discuss next just how much credit after the break. First, though, ahead of their big matchup against the Lakers, this is really interesting, guys. The Bucks decided to use an off day this week to visit the Racine Correctional Institution. This is a medium security prison in Wisconsin, and this is part of a program that the Bucks and the Kings are doing throughout the rest of this season, involving their players in this part of the community and really making an effort towards showing people in these prisons they matter and that they can change their lives. It is super impressive. And here's Giannis talking about just what a huge impact that visit had on him.
Last night event was one of the best events that I've been part of. Crazy how much things you take for granted. Obviously, you know, they've made mistakes, but at the end of the day, you got to realize they're human. Like when we were playing basketball, I wasn't seeing guys that made mistakes. You know, I was just seeing humans. You know, humans that were laughing, they were, you know, trying hard, you know, human, they were sharing the stories and all that. So, you know, that really touched me. And, you know, I realized that, you know, sometimes we take things for granted, you know, and that's not going to happen again.
Tradition continues. Five of the best gifts anyone could ask for. All five games are also available on the app. You can watch wherever you are celebrating the jump. Very excited to be a part of this year. All right, we got some breaking news from the college game. Potential top pick for this year's draft. James Wiseman said today he has left the University of Memphis. He will begin preparing for the draft after serving 7 games of a 12-game suspension for recruiting violations that he was hit with last month. He played, count them, 3 games in college. Kendrick, you actually originally committed to Memphis, but then decided instead to become a graduate of Cash University.
You know what it
is,
right?
And go straight to the league. Do you support James Wiseman's decision?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, he's 2 or 3 weeks too late. I would have been declared. I wouldn't be dealing with this. Look, he's obviously going to be the top 5 pick. I would have left 3 weeks ago. I would have been wrote this Instagram post. Okay, Memphis, cool. I'm out.
I agree. I'm happy to see this young man make the right decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, college basketball is not for him right now. He has a great future ahead of him, and it's time for him to start working and focusing on it.
They don't want him, so that's fine, at least for those 12 games. So he's going to go take his ball and take it to the NBA. Welcome in, Zach Lowe. Thanks for coming today. How do you like hanging out with the champs?
Pretty good. They got some jewelry.
Yes, more than either one of us. I do want to ask you, Zach, about the Bucks and Lakers because they are going to have a showdown tonight, the winner claiming the best record in the NBA. Look, you can point to AD. We know we're still waiting on word, making sure he's going to play a dominant LeBron for the Lakers' resurgence. But don't forget about Magic. Magic Johnson doesn't want you to anyway. He told the Los Angeles Times, quote, "This team would not be in the position it's in without me." Do you think that he is getting enough credit for his impact on the Lakers?
Well, if you zoom way out he's right in that if they didn't draft Magic Johnson and win five championships in the 1980s, they're not cool. They're not cool enough to still be the Lakers. But I don't think Magic Johnson swung LeBron James' decision to go to Los Angeles. I think he was probably going to go anyway. And once you get LeBron James, then the whole Anthony Davis thing starts. So I think Magic Johnson is getting the proper amount of credit.
Scotty, what do you think?
I think he's getting the proper amount of credit. Obviously, I think he had a lot to do with bringing LeBron James in, and I think that guy has created what we're seeing as the modern day Showtime. So I give him some credit that, you know, he was the start of this.
He drafted some of the, or was involved in drafting some of the assets that went for the Anthony Davis trade. I'm trying to connect the dots here. What do you think, Peter?
Are we talking about some credit? Really? Did we not forget LeBron landing, the video him landing on his private jet, coming back from wherever he was, the three-hour meeting with Magic? I'm giving Magic a lot of credit.
He's
because without Magic,
credit.
We wouldn't have LeBron. Obviously, that meeting was the icing on the cake for LeBron to sign to the Lakers. So I'm giving Magic his credit. Hey, Magic, I'm giving you your credit, man. Credit where it's due. You got LeBron James here.
I do think LeBron was inclined to come here anyway. He wanted to be in L.A. His family wanted to be in L.A. I think he was inclined to go to the Lakers and sort of the history of the Lakers brand. But I do think Magic sort of gave him, I don't want to say the cover, but sort of the opportunity to feel like he was signing with a Hall of Famer, with one of the greatest players of all time. Because outside of Magic, the Lakers brand didn't have a lot of luster in those particular years prior to LeBron coming here, and Magic gave them some of that luster, even though the franchise wasn't in the position it has come back to right now.
Certainly the decision to move on from Jim Buss, I think, was a prerequisite, whether the choice of Magic was essential or not. If they had kept that front office and all the things that were going on there, maybe they don't get LeBron. That's fair.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Zach, I want to talk about the wager that you have with Tracy McGrady.
Man.
Scotty and Kendrick, I don't know if you've heard about this, but earlier this year, Zach Lowe bet T-Mac that if Harden averaged 40 a game this season, Zach would buy Tracy dinner, which is not really a bet you want to make with a Hall of Famer if you're like me or Zach. But I believe we have a picture of T-Mac and Zach at dinner that
First
we can
all,
show.
First of all, I've lost
like.
About 20 pounds
so
there.
You should
I
like this
good.
Picture, right? This is very good. Currently, Harden leading the league with 38.9 points a game. Zach, does that make you nervous? What do you think? Where are you? Where is the Zach meter on how you are feeling? 38.9 is close to 40, my friend.
First of all, yeah, he's been closer. He was at 39.5 a couple of days ago, so I'm trending in the right. Even my dad is like, how did you just make a one-sided bet? I can't win. There's nothing I can win. All I can do is lose.
Right.
I think there's probably, like, if the math nerds actually dug into this, I bet they would find there's like a 20 to 30% chance he can crack 40, maybe even less than that. He's 38.9 halfway through the season. I implore all defenses, keep trapping him. Keep forcing him to get the ball. It's clearly the best strategy. I don't care what the math says. Keep doing it.
Doing it so that even if the Rockets win all their games doing that, if James stays under 40, you want them to do that.
Yes.
Yes. Scotty, do you think he can crack 40? This all came from T-Mac saying that because scoring is up and the way James plays, that he sees him doing it for the first time, I think, since Wilt, right? Is the first player to do it.
Long time.
Right?
Whatever it is, it's
a
long time.
Based on the fact of watching how they play, his style of play, the time of possession that he has to basketball, I believe that he can crack it.
Okay.
He's scoring the basketball at will. There's going to be teams that he's going to score way above 40, so I believe he's going to push that average up. We've seen Westbrook be right there in terms of averaging a triple-double. He was able to push those numbers to achieve it. So I see a player that's I see teammates, they're going to make sure that he
help him get it.
Get to the top.
All right,
of the
so who's buying who dinner? What do you think?
I think Zach, you're going to be buying T-Mac dinner, man.
Wine is included.
And listen,
you're lucky
think
Tracy isn't drinking.
The reason and
wine for you, you'll need a lot of it.
To harp on Scotty's point, you know, his other teammates are sacrificing.
Yep.
But we have to give a lot of credit to Russell Westbrook because the reason that Harden is capable of averaging 40, they're getting more possessions. The Houston Rockets are number one in pace, so that means Russell Westbrook is pushing the ball, and he's taking a back seat to Harden, and then we got to get a count that, you know, the referee's going to help Harden out a little bit, so he's going to shoot 15 to 20 free throws a game.
So referees treat James Harden as they do everyone else
Rachel. I don't usually disagree with you at all because I don't disagree with legends, but no, we're not going to do that.
I'm just going to keep saying it. Sometime someone will say it's true. Maybe not. All right, coming up, we're going to make the case for two Hall of Fame nominees. We will talk about why Ben Wallace and Chris Webber deserve to be in. Stay tuned for that. Here, though, is what The Jump recommends for today. Hey, it's the Low Post podcast hosted by this guy, Zach Lowe, with guest Bill Simmons.
That's right, the Podfather.
These are always good. What do you got this time?
MVP debate, early All-NBA teams, some trade scuttlebutt, lots of stuff.
Trade scuttlebutt?
Zach.
That's a sell. Sell.
Yeah, scuttlebutt.
Zach, can you ask him why he instigated
KG? All right, let's look at a list of those
don't have to
women.
KG. I don't think it required a lot of instigation.
Direct elect. Ahead on Sports Center at 6 Eastern, Dak Prescott plans to play through the pain against the Eagles. We'll hear from the Cowboys quarterback. Plus, what LeBron versus Giannis tonight will tell us about this season's NBA landscape, and full coverage of our breaking news. Suspended star freshman James Wiseman deciding to leave Memphis. Sports Center with Ryan Smith right after PTI. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols here with Zach Lowe, Kendrick Perkins, Scottie Pippen, and I want to get to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were without Karl-Anthony Towns last night. They lost to a Pelicans team that themselves was on a 13-game losing streak coming in. The Wolves have now lost 8 straight. So do you guys remember during training camp, Karl-Anthony Towns said no one should sleep on the Timberwolves this year? Well, that led to Kendrick Perkins the day he said that. Well, I'm just going to show you what that led to.
Call Anthony Towns, guess what? I'm sleeping, and I'm sleeping with the AC on 60 and the box fan blowing in my face, because guess what? I don't believe you.
And that brings us to Perk's T-Wolf temperature. Now, Perk, you've adjusted this up and down through the season. Yeah. Where are you now? What is your temperature on the Wolves?
Right now, my temperature is the lowest it could go. It's at 55, and my AC unit is broken. So I need reimbursement from the roof. From the Wolves, look, they can't lose that game last night. Even without Karl-Anthony Towns, the Pelicans have been playing horrible, and you lose that game. Listen, when I got on my flight early this morning, they had that good flight, you know, the business class with your seats, you know, the good seats.
Yeah.
I turned both of my AC knobs up, blew them in my face, and look, I reclined my seat like I was at the dentist's office.
Can I
went straight to sleep.
Can I say something? When the Wolves got off to a hot start, they took a little premature victory lap, went at Perk a little bit on social media. I don't hear anything now from the Wolves social media account. I don't hear any chatter anymore. I don't hear "I'm sorry, Perk." I don't hear anything.
Yeah, none of that. None of that.
It's quiet. All quiet now.
We will have to find out today if they have to say anything. We've been talking to you guys all day about the Hall of Fame. I want to get to some notable returning nominees. We talked at the top of the show about the first-time nominees. These guys are on the ballot another time. Chris Webber, notable. Zach, I know you think that Webber is hands down a Hall of Famer. I do too. Give the people your case.
Put Chris Webber in the Hall of Fame. If you look at points, rebounds, assist numbers, there aren't many players in history, like 10, 12 guys who have that many all-around numbers. Five-time All-Star, top five MVP once. He's like a little bit of a borderline candidate. I get why with his playoff resume and stuff, but I think he passes the test. And sometimes, like, a guy just has a style and a game and plays for a team that defined a little mini era in basketball. Between the Fab Five and the Kings, put him in.
All right. I want to switch gears and get to Ben Wallace. This is my pet project. Get Ben Wallace in the Hall of Fame. Scotty, I know you appreciate defense. Tell us why you think he belongs.
Well, it's obvious. Four times this guy was Defensive Player of the Year in our league. So that says a lot. And he's an NBA champion and an all-star. You know, he was one of those guys, when you talk about put on a hard hat and go to work, you speak of a guy like Ben Wallace. He's definitely deserving to be an all-star. I mean, to be a Hall of Famer, excuse me.
Well, I want to show you the blind resume of a current Hall of Famer and how it compares to one of the nominees who didn't make it in on the first ballot. You may see that this is who we are talking about. Four All-Stars, four Defensive Player of the Years, five All-NBA, six All-Defensive Team appearances, and Player Two, eight All-Stars, four Defensive Player of the Years, three All-NBA, six All-Defensive appearances. So obviously we've been talking about Ben Wallace's four Defensive Player of the Years. Can you even pick out, right, which one of them was Deke and which one of them was Ben? Their resumes are so similar, wow, Scotty.
It's amazing.
Right? And you would never question, Kendrick, if Dikembe Mutombo belonged in the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely not. And listen, I understand the All-Star thing, you know, but, you know, it's so, like how it is now with fans voting it in, it's so political. But when you start getting into those other accolades, right, the Defensive Player of the Year, you know, four times, like, that's unbelievable. Like, you had to make a huge difference. I just go back, no disrespect to Shaq, but I just go back to that finals, the Pistons, and Ben Wallace really, I hadn't seen a guy that really was able to control Shaq like he did one-on-one.
Absolutely. All right, we will talk more about the Hall of Fame throughout the rest of the show, but coming up, we're also going to talk more about the Bucks and Lakers game tonight. Should the Bucks be the favorites? That's what Vegas thinks. Stay tuned for that. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one, this date in 2001. Let's welcome Jay Rich back to the show.
Ooh. Somebody got a good dunk on.
Oh! Is that Ben Wallace?
Man, I'm so mad I didn't have hops.
Okay, earlier in the season, he might have been bounced out of bounds. You are now rocking with the best. Gangsta, the God Universal.
High noon is minutes away, and we'll discuss if Magic Johnson deserves credit for the Lakers' success.
Why is Odell trying to convince us that he's happy in Cleveland?
Cowboys fans worry about their quarterback this weekend.
And comparing Josh Allen to Michael Jordan. Stay tuned.
Like the Michael Jordan who played for the Bulls.
Yeah, that guy.
The Josh Allen who plays for the Bills.
This week on NBA Countdown, find out which legendary teams the Sixers are using as their blueprint.
I really feel like I'm an integral part of the resistance at this point.
And move over, Baby Yoda. The Lopez twins join the resistance in Disney World's latest Star Wars attraction. Friday, 7 Eastern on NBA Countdown, presented by Mountain Dew.
And you can, in fact, tune in to NBA on Friday ESPN for NBA Countdown, leading into Kristaps Porzingis and the Mavericks against Joel Embiid and the Sixers. Coverage starts 7 o'clock Eastern. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump.
Uh-oh.
Raptors knocking off the Pistons last night, their 19th win of the season. The bad news, the team lost Marc Gasol and Norm Powell to injuries, joining Fred VanVleet on the injury list. Zach, can your Toronto Raptors continue winning despite their injuries?
Hell yes! They won despite Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka being injured, and now those guys are back and playing well. This is a tough, gritty team. They'll have a slide here or there, but they're not going anywhere.
You like them, Scotty?
I have to agree with Zach. I mean, you can never challenge the heart of a champion, and this team has created a culture. They play hard, they play together, and they play smart.
All right, the Pelicans snapping their 13-game losing streak last night with their win over the Timberwolves. Lonzo Ball came off the bench to score 10 points, 4 of 10 shooting. This year, his averages of 10 points per game, 4.7 rebounds, and 5.5 assists. They're basically just even with his career numbers. So, Perk, we're getting into a point with Lonzo where the question is he going to continue to improve as a player, or is this kind of who Lonzo Ball is?
No, this is who he is. He's not a superstar, and he's not a star. He was the number two pick with high expectations from his father and everybody else. And to me, he's a bust because this is not number
a bust?
Yes, this is not number two production right here. A number two pick, this is not what you draft a number two pick for.
I'm not going to throw the B word at him, but I will say.
It's okay.
I got your back if his daddy run up on you.
Well, I don't care. I'm not clear.
I got your back. It's okay to say what you got to say.
Make a free throw, but B, it is interesting. Like, I don't really know what the point of him is once Zion comes back, because Brandon Ingram is clearly going to be the number one option. And yeah, they'll play fast and he'll throw outlet passes, but like half court offense, he has no value or limited value just standing around while other guys do stuff.
I mean, you drafted a guy number two because he outlets and give up the ball early. Like, come on, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. On this show, on The Jump, Rach, I appreciate it, but you know we speak these facts.
We do speak the truth here, and that is your truth. I respect that, as always, Perk. We talked Lakers-Bucks earlier in the show. Well, Vegas likes Milwaukee tonight. Lakers,
whoa.
underdogs for just the third time all season. Caesars has the Bucks as 4-point favorites tonight. Now, Anthony Davis's health will be a major factor. He missed the Lakers' last game with an ankle injury. He's questionable for tonight. So, Scotty, do you agree with the Bucks being favored over the Lakers at home?
Not if AD play. If AD play, no, I'm not going to give them the favorite. I think it's an important game for them to win. But if I'm betting with my money, mm-hmm. I'm going with the Lakers.
Interesting. Zach, what do you got?
I'll go with the Bucks. I mean, I don't know. It would be interesting to see if you could find a 24-4 team or a team with this kind of winning percentage that was ever an underdog at home to anyone.
Right.
I mean, their home teams are generally favored. And I'll even say if AD plays, they should be favorites. Then it becomes kind of a toss-up game, though. I hope he plays. Is Adam Silver going to make him play?
Well, this is an actual injury. This is not rest or anything.
No, I understand.
What do you want to do? Do you want to push someone who's further out on the court?
I just want a landmark game to be a landmark game. That's all. I'm just hoping. I'm hoping he's healthy and crossing my fingers, crossing everything. Let's let him play.
If AD plays, I'm not betting against that duo. I'm sorry. I'm taking the Lakers. I'm not. Hey, Bron, I'm on board with the Wash King hashtag. Hey, I'm not going against the grain. This is the best duo since Kobe and Shaq, and I refuse to go against
it. Okay. There you go. I know the Bucks want to make a statement tonight, getting a win at home against the Lakers with the streak on the line. Again, clearly they have doubters that they can do it, so it would be a big deal for them to pull it off. It's going to be a good one on TNT tonight. All right, our League Pass game of the night tonight, Jazz at Hawks. Utah starting a 3-game road trip in Atlanta against the team with the worst record in the Eastern Conference. Both teams have young stars perk. Right now, which player would you rather have, Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young?
I'm telling you right now, if Trae Young comes in my city, wherever I'm at, I'm buying tickets front row to go watch this kid play. He's the future of the NBA, so I'm taking Trae Young any day of the week.
I gotta follow Ken again. I gotta go with Trae Young. I mean, the basketball game now is so open, the freedom to shoot the basketball, and this is what this kid can really do. He can shoot the basketball, so I like what he does on the court, his spacing, his intelligence.
This is actually a really hard one.
I know.
This is a really good one.
Producer Steve came up with this. He likes to call him Donnie Mitch versus Trae Young.
Trae Young's going to be a better offensive player. He probably is already a better offensive player. But I gravitate a little more to two-way players, and Trae Young's defense in a playoff series makes me so nervous that
Trae Young is a show, but his defense in a regular season game has been hard to
watch. Let me just say this. They said the same thing about Steph Curry.
Steph Curry we need to see Trae reach that level of shooting before he becomes Steph Curry.
Oh, it's there.
When the percentages show it, there's only one Steph Curry.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Steph Curry broke basketball.
I'll tell you right now, Zach, that Trae Young is better than Steph Curry in his year two than what Steph Curry is doing. His IQ, passing the ball, and everything. Bring me on your show. Let's debate
gonna
about
this. We're going to keep arguing this. I'm going to thank all of them, and I'm also going to say congratulations to the new nominees for the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
Swin Cash, baby!
Two more to announce. He wants to shout out Swin. I want to shout out all of these folks. Choices from the Veterans Direct Elect Committee are going to roll off your screen as we finish. Congratulations to everyone nominated from the Hall. I promise you, just being nominated is a huge accomplishment, and we will see where you go from here.